He asked to come back for a third time, a record for us. He's a multiple Juno and East Coast Music nominee and award winner, plus a member of the Order of Canada. We're talking about none other than Lenny Gallant, a more prolific composer and compelling storyteller through song you'll never find. There's nothing arm's length about Lenny's work. It is the very heart and soul of Atlantic Canada. I'm Paul Kellogg with Lenny Gallant in the next edition of the Blue Nose Opera House radio show. Lenny Gallant, front and center. This is your third show with us.
Maybe
you're returning.
Maybe we'll get it right this time.
We got it right the first two times, pal. And I have to say that it's not always easy to keep it spontaneous, even on the second visit. But for some reason, we were rolling, and I think we're going to do it again.
Great.
I think that we could make the show very, very quick if we talked about your love life, but instead we'll center more on the music. You have won the Canadian Folk Music Awards Artist of the Year for 2014-2015, and we'll get into that and also the great show you have coming up again this summer that you're taking to a new level in PEI, but you're so busy. So we will pack the show with what's coming up with Lenny Gallant, all right? But while you settle in, if it's okay with you,
yeah.
You're co-program director for this.
Okay.
We'll kick it off with his latest album from Ian Sherwood. And this particular song, I remember seeing it for the first time at the Mug and Anchor in Mahone Bay, wearing a black shirt, black trousers, just by himself. And I thought, man, this guy's got talent. And he just stepped up to the microphone, like looking like a kid in school, really, and overwhelmed me. And I have to say, Ian Sherwood, you are now on your way.
How many rings or shades of plaid must I wear to cover my sad before my mood grows to good from bad, before my bruises fade to pale from black? There's the sound of the city like an FM radio coming from the back rooms and the corridors. Girls are dancing like the 80s videos. I wanna dance, but maybe no. I was never good at dancing, but I was pretty good at moving slow. Tonight, the morning's not written yet. There's no folding or hedging beds. The only podium is gold. Tonight, forget the rumors, forget regret. I'm looking sharp and I'm getting bent. All dressed up, I got everywhere to go. I got everywhere to go. Spending all the money that I made in the week, barefoot on the cobblestones of Water Street. Girls are laughing, they're laughing at me, yeah, but I can't hear them, no, I can't feel the blows. I was never good at dancing, but tonight, watch me go. Tonight, the morning's not written yet, there's no folding or hedging beds, the only podium is gold. Regret. I'm looking sharp and I'm getting bent. All dressed up, I got everywhere to go. I got everywhere to go. I got everywhere to go. I've got everywhere to go. Yeah. The morning's not routine.
have Lenny Gallant, and it's great having you back here. Really, I have to say welcome again to you.
Well, thanks. Great to be here.
But you have a jammed summer. I mean, you just finished doing the Pearl, which was sold out. Then you're on your way to Yarmouth. You've got Stanfest coming up, then to PEI.
It's a busy time. It tends to be very busy this time of year. The same thing last year, just before we we started the summertime run of Searching for Abigail, my show in Charlottetown last year. It got crazy busy. I was doing a soundtrack for a film. I was releasing a book, trying to finish a brand new album, and writing the final parts of the show all at the same time, writing and rehearsing the show. So this year is not all that different.
But you keep pushing the borders. When you were here at the Pearl, your show was one of the best I've seen. I've seen you with Symphony Nova Scotia, which was a highlight in my life, and I know you said that it was for you too. But I did some research early this morning, and this is what Barbara Higgins Brown said. Lenny really has come full circle, an amazing songwriter and storyteller, that's for sure, who has made his mark on so many of us Maritimers and on my heart. And Scott Brown wrote another Maritime gem. Well, he's giving us the understatement of the year. Mary Dixon, awesome concert tonight. I just wanted to open it, not so much like Larry King, but just to say, this is what other people are saying about you. And I kept saying it to myself as I was watching the show. And without me taking over this program, I would love to have you describe a song that you have on your latest album that you recorded at the Carlton, right?
Yeah.
It's about PEI, your love affair with the island.
Yeah, this song was written for the show Searching for Abigail. The name of Prince Edward Island that the Mi'kmaq gave to the island was called Abigail, which means cradled on the waves. And then the word Mi'kmaq, of course, means people of the dawn. Mm-hmm. And when they named the island Abigail, there was a legend that came with it. They say that the great spirit Glooskap, the creator of all the world, after he created the world, he took all the most beautiful colors of the world and he mixed them together. And then he dipped his brush into these colors and painted the island into existence. And I always loved that story, that mm-hmm. the island got painted into existence. You know, the Aboriginals of Australia, they say the world was sung into existence. Well, we got more of a hands-on attitude, I guess, in this part of the world. They say it was painted into existence. And in my show in the summer, we kind of turned that legend around, because my sister, Karen, she's a very well-known artist on Prince Edward Island.
She's a wonderful artist.
Wonderful artist. And she has taken all the most beautiful colors of Prince Edward Island and put them onto her paintings. And we used well over 100 of her paintings in the show, and I projected onto a giant screen and behind the band, and the paintings were always in motion. And it made for a show that turned out to be pretty powerful. We ended up doing 57 shows that were all sold out last summer, so we're going to do it again this year.
Some of the images, to me, it was like a collage as I watched you and the band and then what was going on with Karen's artwork. Also, there were these very gentle images of the musicians on stage, kind of moving in and out, but nothing took over. Nothing dominated the music. Nothing dominated Karen's art. There was such a blending that each one kind of had its own special place in the show. And I don't know if you were able in sound checks and whatever to catch some of that. It was a brilliant balance of art, the music and the paintings of Karen Gallant and the music of Lenny.
Yeah, it took a little bit of balancing, and I have to give Jacques Autreau, my director, a lot of credit as well. He and I worked at trying to find that right balance, because you don't want to put too much on screen, because then it suddenly becomes a video and the band becomes superfluous. And you need to have just enough that it augments what's happening between. I got a 5-piece band on stage and they're all fabulous players. I'm so lucky to have them there. And you don't want to take too much away from that. You want to be able to support that. And I think we seem to be lucky. I think from what I heard, they work quite well.
From the legend of Grey Glooskap, from the people of the dawn, this name was given to you, so tender and so strong. Born of storm and fury, from an ocean cold and deep, came an island where the great spirit would lay his head to sleep. Abigail, cradled on the waves, gently rock me home tonight. I'll forever stay.
sing to me your song when I hear your lullaby. I know where I belong. Over dunes that line the shoreline, through the black spruce on the cliffs, down in the furrowed fields of red, your melody will drift. Then rise up on the eagle's wings, dive into the sea, to the rhythm of survival and the life you gave to me. In the Strathspeyaticale, the Acadian Cornplant, all the heartache of the journey, safe arrival in the dance. All the birds song in the morning, all the boats head out to sea. I can hear the elders calling out the name you are to me. Abergwit, cradled on the waves, gently rock me home tonight, I'll forever stay. Abergwit, sing to me your song when I hear. From the people of the dawn, this name was given to you. Now you know where you belong.
We are on the best community station in Canada, including the first one on the air 41 years ago, covering Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, Guelph, and Waterloo region in Ontario, CKWR, carrying the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
We're into it. Lenny Gallant, you're on the Blue Nose Opera House, and you don't have to introduce me. We go through this every single time. I'm Chatsworth Osborne Jr. You had 57 sold-out shows, you mentioned, in PEI, so you're going to repeat it. But that was part of the Charlottetown Festival in 2014, too, an exciting time for the island. And I'm so glad that the show, that show should go across Canada, really.
It's been talked about. I've been approached to take it on tour, and I'd love to do that.
Marcia Ball, Luann Barton, and Angela Strelli. And this is an Ike Turner song called Fool in Love.
Whoa! Something on my mind. Won't somebody please tell me what's wrong?
You're just a fool. You know you're in love. You got to face it to live in this world. You take the good along with the bad. Sometimes you're happy and sometimes you're sad. You know you're loving. You can't understand why.
Got me laughing and my heart a little pain. How do you like that old rock and roll sound to it?
Oh, fabulous.
Can't beat it. Let's go back to your beginnings. Of course, you were born in Rustico, I assume.
That's right.
And when I was there last summer after your show, and thank you very much for the history of that wonderful area, stopped at a general store with a bright red roof, can't miss it, and it was a place where you could get wonderful ice cream. It was a very hot day, so we did. And also they make fresh bread, buns.
Make fresh bread, and it's the best meat on Prince Edward Island, grass-fed beef, and it's people drive for 20 miles around just to get it, get beef for barbecues.
Do you want to do a commercial right here for Keith Gallant? He's your brother.
He's my brother.
Met him. Wonderful fellow. It was interesting meeting different members of your family after getting to know you a little bit. And then we went upstairs to the art gallery of Karen Gallant and saw some of the original works of what had been in the show and in your wonderful book. She's an amazing human being.
Karen is a terrific person. Anybody who meets her find her very warm, and she's totally genuine, very big heart. Yeah, and I'm so happy that she allowed me to use her work in the show. And doing the show, it was kind of a kick in the pants for us to put a book out together, as you mentioned, Peter's Dream. It's 52 of her paintings, 52 of my songs. So it's been really great collaborating with her. She's so prolific. It was so funny. I kept telling her, Karen, I need all of your paintings, like photographs of them, so that we know how we can use them all. And then she'd send me 100 or more. And then I said, no, these are them all. And then I'd walk into a house somewhere and I said, well, I don't have that one. And I'd take pictures of them and I'd say, Karen, there's like quite a few paintings here. I don't have these. And then she'd send me another 50. And then I'd say, well, I don't have very many paintings for the song Tell Me a Ghost Story. Do you have any more ghostly paintings? Yeah. And then she'd send me another 25, And even yesterday I walked into a house and said, well, there's five more that I don't have. And so, she does some great work and a lot of it.
And prolific. Yeah. Now, when we were there, I felt like I was butting in because she had to make a U-turn and come back to the gallery because she was expecting us. And she was preparing for your mother's 80th birthday party. Mm. So your mother is 81 now.
That's right. My father is 82 tomorrow.
Oh, wow. And I get a feeling sometimes that when you head into Rustico, it's kind of like meeting the PEI mafia. Is that true? How many relatives you have there that mostly are centered there, right?
I am, on my dad's side of the family alone, I'm the oldest of, I think it's in the 70s now, grandchildren and great-grandchildren. My dad comes from a family of 13 kids, and they all had large families, and then some of those kids had kids as well. So it's a pretty large family. Being Catholic and Acadian, certainly helps.
And related to everybody, including the guys in 10 Strings and the Goatskin, The Night We Moved the House. That's a song that you co-wrote.
I co-wrote that with Rowan. I have two nephews in that little trio, Rowan and Caleb Glenn. And it's interesting you mentioned Keith earlier, because Keith actually lives in the house that's in the song. Years ago, my great-great-grandmother and lived in a house down along the shore, they weren't well off at all. But when her husband died, there was another rather a nefarious character in the community who he discovered that the house was actually built on the edge of his property instead of where everybody thought it was. And so he claimed it for his own. He wanted to try to get the widowed lady all kicked out of the house and take it over. When the community found out about this, well, they weren't going to have it. And so late in the middle of winter's night, they went down there with lanterns and stuff, and they literally picked the house up and moved it across onto the adjacent property. And so Rowan and I were talking about this story and what a great story it was. And so we should write a song about it. So we did. We wrote a song. They have it on their album, the 10 Strings and a Goatskin album called Corbeau, which an album that I produced for them. And they've done great guns with it. And we actually use it in the Searching for Abigut show as well. And I have another nephew. I have my nephew John Gallant kicking it off when we do it. But the version we're going to play here is the version that 10 Strings recorded.
And this is Shades of Shipping News, The Night We Moved the House.
The word had spread from door to door down the Barchois Road to the harbor shore. Oh, Joe LaBelle would steal the house from the widow Victoria. He'd found
ransom deed that claimed her land, and a handshake deal just wouldn't stand in a court of law. He did demand that the house belong to him. Ring the church bells in the night, we'll gather at the first starlight. Bring your lamps, sleighs and mare to save the widow's home. Across the big field or the pond, we'll move this house before the dawn. When Joe LaBelle arrives, he'll find his prize already gone. It seems that some mistake was made on the day her husband made a trade. And when he died, he was betrayed by Joe LaBelle's black heart. He planned to force her to the cold, and he'd bring the sheriff and his foes. So through the dead of winter's hold, we come to save her home. Ring the church bells in the night, we'll gather at the first starlight. Bring your lamps, sleighs and mare to save the widow's home. Across the big field or the pond, we'll move this house before the dawn. When Joe LaBelle arrives, he'll find his prize already gone. His breath frees in the air as Perfilix said the Lord's Prayer and passed the wine to all hands there. Then he sang a sailor song. There must have been near 40 men while their wives all held their lamps for them. They fashioned logs, levers, and skids while shivering to the bone. With witches, logs, and Pino sleigh, they slowly hauled the house away, and the ice cracked like the break of day as a cross and she was drawn. We rang the church bells in the night, we worked until the morning light, brought our lamps, sleighs, and mare to save the widow's home. Across the big field or the pond, we moved this house before the dawn. Joe LaBelle arrived and found his prize already gone. We rang the church bells in the night, we worked until the morning light, brought our lamps, sleighs and mare to save the widow's home. Across the big field or the pond, we moved this house before the dawn. Joe LaBelle arrived and found his prize already gone.
They're hot, too. We just heard Ten Strings and a Goatskin, The Night They Moved the House. Lenny.
Tantramar FM means CFTA, where hardworking Ron Bickle makes sure you can hear their great signal in northwestern Nova Scotia, southeastern New Brunswick, and most of Prince Edward Island. Amherst Tantramar is where you'll find the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
Another segment, we're rolling. Lenny Gallant, I'm Paul Kellogg. I might as well just introduce myself because you're sitting back and just enjoying the music, I'm sure, and this chit-chat. But I don't know if artists, and I was wanted to ask you for a long time, if you're offended when people ask you if you would record something. And I know you record your own music, but how you feel about covering somebody else's tunes. And there was a song that was in a musical, inspired me to ask Leona Boyd to record it. It was never to be. But this is the song with Cliff Richard and Sarah Brightman, and it's from The Phantom, All I Ask of You.
No more talk of darkness, forget these wide-eyed fears. I'm here, nothing can harm you. My words will warm and calm you. Let me be your freedom. Let daylight dry your tears. I'm here with you, beside you, to guard you and to guide you.
Say your prayer every waking moment. Fill my head with talk of summertime. trophies are far behind you.
All I want is freedom, a world with no more night, and you always beside me to hold me and to hide me.
Then say you'll share with me one love, one life. Let me lead you from your solitude. Say you want me with you, beside you, anywhere you go, let me.
Beautiful piece of music. And when people say they don't write songs like they used to, and they're maybe thinking of Cole Porter and Harold Arlen, they're thinking of Rodgers and Hammerstein, Rodgers and Hart. And I think of Andrew Lloyd Webber, who can still pull it off and write a beautiful piece like that. And also the songs of Lenny Gallant. Oh, he happens to be here in the studio with us. Your life changed. You had a major shift 11 years ago. When your role in life changed, and that has affected you to this day and will to the end of your life, when you became a father.
That's right. Yeah.
It changed your focus?
Oh, completely.
You know, and you probably said no matter where you go, that is your number one career.
It's my number one career. It's tough when you're on the road. In fact, just a few hours ago, I had to say goodbye for a couple of weeks now on the road, and she doesn't like that when I go off, and neither do I. You know, I wish in many ways that I could be around a lot more. But when I am not on the road, we spend a ton of time together. We have a lot of fun. She's a fabulous girl.
Is she leaning toward music? Because you told me once that when she did a concert with a school choir, a bunch of young people, that she just did it without blinking.
Well, she actually sings on my last studio album along with this choir. She's got a beautiful little voice, and she was so professional standing in front of the microphone. But nowadays, she says no. She's more into drawing. You know, kids they move from one thing to the other. And even though I hear her singing by herself, can't get her to sing. It's so funny. She got on stage at the Metro Center in front of 10,000 people, along with this choir of kids. And so, at one point, she was taking a few piano lessons, and the girl was also going to work on her voice. And after a few. After a few lessons, she said, I'm really working at her, getting her to vocalize, you know, to sing out. I said, are you aware she sang in front of 10,000 people at the Metro Center? She was shocked. She said, but I'm hoping that she'll come back around. But right now, it's drawing is her thing, and she's quite a good drawer.
It's kind of interesting how we learn these inhibitions and these stresses as adults. But as kids, we're just as natural as can be, like your daughter. Is she being influenced by Karen and her work?
I think so. She really likes Karen's work, but she's, you know, she's an independent person. She's really got her own mind, and it's amazing how strong her personality is. And if she decides she wants to do something, she's going to do it her way, and it's not really necessarily borrowing too much from anyone else.
When I first met you, I didn't really follow through correctly. And when I talked something about how you interpret life so well, but through the pain, and thank you, and you looked at me and said, I got to get away from this guy. He's just a bit too strange for me.
I said that?
You were thinking it. I could see it in your eyes. But what I really meant to say is all of these things, as we get older, we maybe lose a parent. You haven't. But we'll lose a sibling. And I know you've gone through that pain recently and still deal with it, as I have this past year too. But also the growing of children and being there for them, or having to work, or the compromises we have to make. All these things kind of add up to our life experiences and what we have to deal with. That isn't necessarily a straight line. And you interpret that so well for us as a way of speaking or feeling it for us and reflecting the life that we all have to go through as we move along on this journey. You love to tell stories now, and you're more and more comfortable with it. I won't say that you're a sucker for a ghost story, but you sure as heck, even when you walk around Lunenburg, you sure as heck have your mind working about that building has a story, I'm sure. You wrote a song about ghost stories.
I wrote a bunch of songs about ghost stories, actually. I've always been kind of fascinated by stories. And, of course, probably the most famous one that I've done is Tales of the Phantom Ship. I know when this show comes out of Lunenburg, and there's a phantom ship down here, but Prince Edward Island has their own. And that song, I believe, itself was haunted for years, in that bizarre things used to happen when we would do that song. We had storms come up. We would play that song on stage, and storms would come up, lightning storms. We lost power several times. And when we would do it in Rustico in a big tent, we would lose power. We lost power in several theaters in the middle of that song. We had lights fall on stage in that song. Chairs collapse. Many bizarre things happened. And one night we were doing a show in a concert, in a tent in Rustico. And my violin player at the time, Janet Munson, she swears that when the lights went out, she could hear there was people gathered all around her whispering at her. And I believe her, because she has, she seems to have some kind of connection with another world, that bizarre things like that happen from time to time. When I was a kid growing up, we used to have a storyteller in our community, and she would come along. She was known as a ghost storyteller, and she would regale she scared the hell out of three generations of gallants, you know, with her stories. And I remember her coming and telling ghost stories, and then afterwards, of course, my mom would make me walk her home, you know, in the dark. That was always fun.
Just what you needed.
Yeah, with the owls and coyotes crying in the air. I think maybe that's this song here, which is on the latest album, Live at the Carlton, Tell Me a Ghost Story, I think maybe came out of some of those experiences.
Tell me a ghost story tonight, my darling. The one about a lover lost at sea. You know the one I mean, where she goes crazy when he keeps showing up in every dream. Tell me a story that would chill my marrow. Tell me a tale to make my skin crawl back. Something to take my mind off what I'm thinking. Something to save me from this heart attack. I thought I heard a scream. I thought I heard a shot. The rain was crying foul. Wind warning, don't get caught. I thought I saw you run the moonlight the other way. Now here you sit, your hair is wet, your eyes are red, and I am dying. There must be somewhere to make this ending easy. Must be somewhere to bring the hero home. A twist of narrative no one sees coming. A blend of mystery and magic bone. I need to hear your version right now, darling. While everything is fresh inside your head, I
and every smell still makes your lowly quiver. Tell me especially the parts I dread. I thought I heard a scream, I thought I heard a shot. The rain was crying foul, wind warning, don't get caught. I thought I saw you run the moon the other way. Now here you sit, your hair is wet, your eyes are red. And I'm dying. I thought I heard a scream, I thought I heard a shot. The rain was crying foul, I thought I saw you. Tell me a ghost story tonight, my darling. The one about a lover lost at sea. You know the one I mean, where she goes crazy when he keeps showing up in every
Tell Me a Ghost Story, Lenny Gallant's song. And I have to tell you, that was PEI when the power went out and things happened when you did that song. In Nova Scotia, it would be somebody turning on the blow dryer thanks to Nova Scotia Power.
Rustico PEI, it still has people working the fishing boats there. Gallant Family General Store there, you can't miss it with the red roof.
Oh, yeah. Homemade bread.
Great homemade bread, and probably some of the best beef that you could find in Prince Edward Island.
Are you going to do that again?
Grass-fed beef. I'm going to plug my brother's store.
Keith is in your back pocket.
I'm trying to get a couple of T-bones from him. It has the oldest wooden church on Prince Edward Island, and right next to the first credit union in North America, which is known as the Farmers Bank. And it also has the Belcour Center, which is a powerful symbol for the Acadians of Rustico. It's also where we tune into the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
You know, if I threw you a curve, I would say you introduce the segment, Lenny Gallant.
You want me to introduce the segment?
Sure. Let's see what you do.
Oh, well, we're here in the beautiful Lunenburg, recording the Blue Nose Opera House. I'm here with Paul Kellogg, who's doing a wonderful job of showcasing East Coast artists and just putting the music out there. And as a musician, I have to say that we really, truly appreciate the work that's been done from this tiny studio with Paul and David.
You know, I can't go back on that. I was going to tease him and say, you know, can we do this again? But we're not going to. Let's just save that as a gem that it is. Dave Gunning, front and center, and this is a thing he wrote with J.P. Cormier called New Highway.
My father came to Westville and helped to build the town. They damn near broke their backs trying to break the ground. But some dreams are not for catching, they seldom ever stay. They run like a river of our tears down the new highway. My mother was a tailor, she fashioned all my clothes. Wore those burlap breeches down a dozen dusty roads. But she passed away in 69, thank God, before the day. She didn't have to watch our dreams go down the new highway. And now the main street's dark and silent, not a shadow or sound. The midnight brings the spirits out from the coal mines and the ground. My dreams, they all come back again. The good folks of the day, they're all trying to save the life they knew from going down the new highway. brother was a millwright. He helped to build my home, but the work ran out, as did my wife. Now I'm all alone. Without a steady income, I couldn't ask for her to stay. So I sent my love and my two young kids down the new highway. Beside the road, he'd wave to every passing car. He never was alone. But the four lane left him breathless when it took his view away. Now his spirit haunts the old roadside where it meets the new highway. But all things come to pass, you see it everywhere you turn. It's just a big race to the finish line. I hope someday we'll learn. Some dreams are not for catching, they seldom ever stay. They run like a river of our tears down the new highway. Some dreams are not for catching, they seldom ever stay. They run like a river of our tears down the new highway. Down the new highway.
That's Dave Gunning, A New Highway. Lenny, how old were you when music just, when you knew that it settled into your soul and that was what you're going to do?
I think I knew it subconsciously before I knew it consciously. I got my first guitar, I was about 12 years old. I talk about that in the show Abiquit, actually. My first guitar came across on the Abiquit Ferry on a load of cedar post from Rogersville, New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. And I remember as soon as I got it, I started trying writing songs immediately, before I even knew three chords of the thing. But it took me quite a long time before I made the conscious commitment to become a full time songwriter. I was always fooling around in various bands. I started playing in coffee houses and bars, you know, when I was in high school and university. But it took quite a while before I actually made the commitment to become a recording artist.
What kind of a mentors did you have? Who influenced you? Was people you danced to at the time? Was it rock and roll? Was it country? Was it folk? Was it Celtic?
A little bit of this and that. You know, the Beatles were around, and so there was a lot of really cool rock stuff that I was interested in. But probably the biggest influence, I never had people that really showed me a lot or hung out with players, and I wish I had. I'd probably be a lot better guitar player than I am right now. But the thing that I think meant a lot was being able to go up to my uncle's, went to my grandmother's house, and I go up to my uncle's bedroom, and he had a record player up there with all kinds of records of Lightfoot and Bob Dylan, mm-hmm. and people like that.
Stones,
Joni Mitchell, Cohen, you know, singer-songwriters. And so I think early on I was very drawn to people who could paint a picture with words, and usually the chords weren't all that difficult, which helped me at the time.
They say that vinyl sales are up, and in some areas 33% of sales, but the internet is changing things so quickly it's hard to really keep up with the facts and figures. But the internet is of course the baby of Apple, or the other way around, and some days I think that Apple's going to own everything, including us. But with their recent announcement about streaming, is this going to affect you financially?
Oh, it's affected all musicians. I mean, you've heard stories from so many professional musicians who were already quite well off. Everybody from Jimmy Buffett to Taylor Swift getting up and speaking out against organizations like Spotify, mm-hmm. because when you look at the return to the players, it's so small. I mean, it costs a fair amount of money to put a record out. But unless people are actually out there paying for it and paying for the physical album, it's really difficult to think about making the next one. And when you get people who are already millionaires talking mm-hmm. about it, think about what that means to the independent artist who's, you know, who's just trying to get by and really needs to make enough sales so that he can actually do it again. It's a tough time for musicians. You
know. Why aren't ASCAP and SOCAN standing up for the musicians they represent? Because I know they go after restaurants and bar owners and whatever royalties they can get out of places that play music. Mm-hmm. You would think that they would step in and say, no, we're not going to take this lying down.
Well, there are organizations that are trying to do something about it to try to make it a monetary sharing thing a little bit better. But I don't know. It's going to be hard to rein it in now because you got Spotify and several other mm-hmm. organizations coming along. Now Apple's getting on board. I would really like to see them try to make it a little bit better payback to the writers and the performers, because it's silly how many millions of hits you need before something is actually substantial is paid to the artist right now. And if you're an independent, that's not likely to happen.
You wrote a song. You were commissioned to write a song for a couple in Kingsburg. And you put this in, I think it was part of your 2 encore set with Symphony Nova Scotia. And I'm not one to give you advice, but if I were to say that there's a song that would be universal that you take with you and put into every single show as you do some of the others, this is the kind of song where people sitting in the audience, they could be a couple that just met, they could be a couple who are on their honeymoon, there could be a couple who are in their 80s. I would make you a bet that most of the hands would quietly move over to the other hand and hold it, because there's something universal about this. And I think it's one of the best songs of the 21st century.
Wow.
And it's called Extraordinary Ordinary Life.
A wind blew through my heart as our youngest walked out the door. And I realized our children didn't live here anymore. We watched her spread her wings and on the wind begin to soar. As I held my breath, you held my hand so tight. And I thought about the many times I needed you like that. When my heart was broke or on a high wire like an acrobat. But I knew I'd be okay if I could tell where you were at. And you'd catch it no matter what the height. Another brushstroke on the canvas, see the painting change again. On this portrait of a husband and a wife, all the colors we create give us roots and give us wings in this extraordinary, ordinary life. I remember when we first met on a flight across the sea. How at 30,000 feet I met the one who completes me. And I thought this is as close to heaven as I'll ever be. I was wrong, you've proven to me many times. Some have said that we are lucky, and I believe this is so. But this kind of luck is fought for. This is something we both know. There were times when maybe it would have been simpler to let go. But you never drew your hand away from mine. Another brushstroke on the canvas, see the painting change again. In this portrait of a husband and a wife, all the colors we create give us roots and give us wings in this extraordinary, ordinary life. I'm saying isn't easy. Somehow words are not enough to explain the way I feel in the moments when we touch and paint wings upon our children, both our hands guiding the brush in this extraordinary, ordinary life. This unordinary, extraordinary life.
It's ageless and it's universal, extraordinary, ordinary life. One of the best songs you will ever hear in your lifetime, and you'll carry through.
You're very kind. Thank you very much, Paul. That's members of Symphony Nova Scotia playing along there. More coming your way with regular host Paul Kellogg.
Blah, 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 blah.
And yours truly. On the same corner, so stay with us here on the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.